discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, the music is fascinating enough by itself. Fresh tracks like The God I Know and He Is With Us have captured listeners across the world. But behind the great sound of the band Love and the Outcome is an incredible journey of finding love, purpose, and ministry, of having the faith to sell their home and all their possessions to follow God's leading. We'll hear the story today from Jody King, one half of Love and the Outcome, as the band gets ready to begin the Decade the Halls Christmas tour with 10th Avenue North, with stops including Iowa, the Dakotas, and Minnesota. Welcome aboard, Jody. How is the day treating you?
Thank you so much. It's going well, but as you can imagine, it's always a little multitasking. So you may hear a little chirping in the background from time to time. Mama, Angie's please, Mama. So, but I promise you that I am focused. But yeah, I'm at home. Just finished a great day at the studio, and we got the chance to write with Matthew West today, my husband and I, which was a blast.
Wow.
And the funny thing is, you know, you bring your little, I have a 2.5-year-old and a 1-year-old, so we drop them off at daycare, and then we switch gears, head to the studio, and then we come home, and it's full-on home life.
Oh, man. Well, that is amazing multitasking. We salute you. Hats off to you. And honestly, I think the little murmuring in the background kind of adds to the experience. So actually thank them, please. I think it's exciting.
You're getting the real deal over here.
Now, I understand that you live in Music City now down there in Tennessee, but growing up in Eastern Montana myself, and having lived in Minnesota and South Dakota, which are places that they're fairly well known here in the U.S. for being brisk, right? This is very interesting to me, and I cannot resist asking, how cold is it really? Paint the picture for us in your hometown of Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Well, my husband told someone yesterday that asked us the same thing. It's not even so much what you wear or the winter gear you own. The questions you ask yourself are, can I make it from my house to the coffee shop walking outside? Like, is 2 minutes, will I survive the 2-minute walk from our downtown condo where we used to live to the Starbucks across the street? Some days are a gamble, and I'm not even kidding. Like, there were days every year, every winter, that your face feels like it's going to, you know, just freeze right off. So it's real. But the funny thing is, it's very unifying in cities. I think the stat that Chris told me is that Winnipeg is the largest populated city with the lowest, like the coldest temperatures in the world, which is
wow.
A little bit nuts. There's like 800,000 people living in Winnipeg, and there's no snow days because it's every day. And you just deal with it, and everyone's in it together. And there's this camaraderie and this unity that you find in everybody hustling and bustling outside in the cold and just keeping on.
That actually makes perfect sense to me. And I'm wondering now, so you make the move to Nashville, and especially as regards to snow days, I imagine that change took a while to get used to, right? The dusting of snow now results in a snow change as opposed to apocalyptic snow, and you still go to school before.
I thought it was a joke. I was like, there wasn't even snow on the ground. There were just, you know, a few little snowflakes. And it was like, yeah, daycare's canceled. And I'm like, oh, that's like, you know, an email. I was like, oh, that's a funny joke. You know, no, it's real. I mean, it just cracks me up. But I think in the city of Nashville, there's one snowplow, like one for the whole city. So no one's ready to take on the snow here.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you know, for those who may be fans of your music, but, you know, maybe just don't know this, of course, the exciting part of Love and the Outcome is it's a husband and wife duo. Chris is your husband.
Yeah.
That is one of the most awesome and fascinating dynamics out there. Just how special is it to not only have this shared interest with your spouse, but to get to do that interest for a vocation and a shared ministry together?
It's pretty incredible, and there's not really a day that goes by or a gig that goes by, you know, where it's lost on us because we started off as two separate bands, and we didn't see each other a ton in the first 2 years of married life. He was off with his band, and I was leading worship, and I was on staff part-time at my church and doing gigs on the weekends. And that was a tension for us because neither one wanted to shut down the other one's dream. And so you're just praying, you know, Lord, can you provide a good answer here? We're not really sure. And if Chris was on the phone, he's being dad and working on our podcast right now. But if he was on the phone, he'd be the first one to say that he just always believed in me, like more than I believed in me, and that I had a voice that, you know, needed to be shared. And I couldn't see that. I think sometimes we miss our own gifts. If it comes naturally to us, we don't think it's a gift. We just think, oh, it's just what I do, you know. But other people come alongside us and they cultivate it and call it out of us. And that's even before we were married, just as good friends. Chris was my biggest champion and supporter. So, you know, when his band folded and his drummer quit, I bought a drum. And I thought, I can do this. I can be a drummer. And we started, you know, just once in a while, we were married, we you know, go out on the road together. And I'm like, hey, babe, can you be my guitar player? Hey, babe, can you be my bass player? Hey, babe. And I just kind of kept doing that. And before long, he knew all the parts. And before long, we were writing together. And then it just fell into place. And the Lord really made a path for us. And we really need each other. Like, we both tried to do this separately. And it just didn't work. It wasn't meant to be. And this is definitely a gift and something we revel in every day.
Man, we'll talk about a great story, huh? That's Jody King, one half of the band Loving the Outcome, the fresh sound and the big heart behind songs like The God I Know and He Is With Us. Soon to depart with 10th Avenue North on the one-of-a-kind Christmas tour, Decade the Halls, with stops including Iowa, Wisconsin, the Dakotas, and Minnesota. And we'll talk more about the tour in just a moment. Talk about the story, this remarkable story of Chris and Jody as well. But, you know, the soundscape is so ear-catching and fresh of what you do. It really does just kind of make you stop and listen. And you've shared that it's sort of the result of the blend between musical styles that you both gravitate toward. Can you take us sort of inside that intersection of stylists?
Sure. That's a great way to put it. It really is an intersection. One that looks like Amy Grant meets Stryper or something like that. Chris grew up on like really good, you know, 80s rock and U2 and learned to play air guitar to all the great players and songwriters. And I was more with my mom singing like pop songs and singing into my hairbrush. So it was a really interesting intersection. We had performed and led worship together a lot, so that part felt really natural. But when it came to getting in the studio and penning our first record, it took a second. It took us aback a little bit because it was a really new way of working together, a really new dynamic. And we had to make space for each other's voice and each other's instrument. And I think it is really special, though, that we took time to cultivate it because it has led us to a really cool sound that if it was just Chris's band or just mine, it would sound so different. I think you really do get a sense of the duo and the bandness of Loving the Outcome. And it took some work. It took some time. And honestly, we're never, you know, it was never fully arrived. We're always becoming Loving the Outcome. And yeah, it's really fun.
It's a great deal of fun to listen to and fun to understand a little bit more about where it comes from. If we sort of really press the rewind button for a second, in your own life, you know, how far back is the love for music interwoven into your story? When did you first discover a love for music?
Well, I think we both are really privileged. We grew up with musical parents, and going to church was a regular part of our life. And I think Chris would probably attribute his dad, who has perfect pitch, and he's a Beatle maniac, and he's the one that plays every instrument. So Chris definitely grew up around it. And for me, my parents sang duets in church and held hands and were that cheesy, amazing couple that everybody wanted to be. And I looked up to them a ton. I just really got a sense as a kid of how much they loved each other. And it was a beautiful thing to grow up in a setting like that. So I think that, you know, we come by it honestly. Both our families have a lot to do with our choices. And honestly, having the backbone to stick it out, because I think if they were not supporting us, the road has just been very windy and very uphill in a lot of ways, being from Canada. It wasn't like an overnight success situation. It was more of the long road. And having our parents behind us was definitely the fuel we needed to keep going.
Is there a moment you look back on where it sort of went from a legacy of music, you know, paralleling a legacy of faith in many ways, and you decided, okay, I want to try performing? Or did you just always know, I want to perform? That's something I want to do someday.
Yeah, I definitely did. I fought with it a lot because I didn't have any role models that were female in church doing what I felt I wanted to do. So I wrestled with that a lot. I didn't know if the word performing was something I was allowed to say I wanted to do. Yeah. Seemed like this taboo word that if I said I wanted to be a worship leader, then everybody sort of understood that. But I really loved to perform, truly. Sure. Like, I loved to put on a show as a kid. It was just in me to do. And so I really tried to give language to that when I'm in Q&As and stuff, when people say, you know, like, performing, you know, I don't know about that. I don't want it to be all about the bells and whistles. I want worship. And it's like, well, performance is really just holding someone's attention. And when I look through scripture, all the apostles were great at that. I mean, that's what Paul did all the time. But he did it with a heart of worship, surrendered to the bigger picture God had, not for his own agenda. And so that's just kind of what we try and do. We're always surrendering, always open-handed about, you know, the purpose and the plan God has, and trying to just follow in his will in that way, but really disciplined and purposeful about the way we present ourselves and our music, and trying to be as authentic as possible, which means we like to have a lot of fun.
Well, and I know that your tour mates for the Christmas tour are certainly of that same mindset. I can't wait to ask you about that in just a moment. But Jody King is with us, one half of Love and the Outcome, here on the road for Faith Radio. And we've sort of been talking about it in parallel tracks, right? The love for music and then the faith aspect. Sort of, you talk about the legacy of faith that's been given to you. Do you look back on an experience or a moment or a process where that faith becomes your own, or did you really just buy in from a very early age?
I think that I saw it modeled for me in a really healthy way through my parents and my grandparents, and going to church, and what a gift that was. But there was definitely a transition, and continues to be, as my relationship, you know, went beyond religion and following rules and, you know, learning memory verses and doing to being. And it's always evolving for me. The deeper that I go with the Lord, and the harder life gets at times, the deepening happens even more. So yeah, the God I know now as a mom and a wife is very different than the God I knew as a little girl at 5 years old, accepting the Lord into my heart. Yeah, I'm always accepting him in new ways, and he's accepting me every day, and I'm just learning how to live and be instead of just always doing.
You know, that phrase, the God I know, I've heard a really good song by that title. Should check it out. It's pretty good.
That's where that one comes from. It was just a real honest conversation between Chris and I and Seth Mosley, the one we wrote that song with. Just talking about that, you know, our experiences growing up in church and the good, the bad, and just how we met the Lord in the middle of it all. And it was a really rewarding thing to write when it comes out of just an honest conversation.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that period, because the call to become a band then with you and your husband, Chris, is a pretty epic story, right? I mean, you sell your house, really go all out in this call. You're feeling God place on your life. How did that come about? And I mean, honestly, that had to be pretty scary, right?
Yeah, it really was. In fact, talking about it now, it's like, did we really do that? I don't know. I don't know if I could have done that now. But anyways, it's we're always, you know, taking steps. And at that point, the steps were a little riskier. Before kids, it was this sort of burning desire to do all that we could do to build the kingdom the way we felt God was asking us to do it. And I didn't really know how much sacrifice it would require, if I'm being honest. We just didn't have the cash to make music and make a record. And so that was part of it. It was practical. We just were like, okay, if we sell the condo, all that can go into an album, and maybe that's our start. And so we did that and sold it all in one day. The condo was purchased with everything in it, got in our Jetta, and we hit the road. And we just kept saying yes to Sunday after Sunday to lead worship and gig after gig. And it turned into a posture of learning to follow the Lord, not just believe in Him.
Wow.
In a passive stance, but really following Him and putting feet to our face. And, you know, 1 month turned into 12, turned into 2 years. And although the gigs were still flowing, cash was tight, and we still didn't live anywhere. But we had learned what being home was, and that was just following the Lord, being together. And that was a gift in and of itself. And
wow.
I somehow feel like once the Lord knew He could trust us to not follow fame and fortune or try and make our sights just set on that, but really following Him, was when things started to click a lot more. And we opened for the Newsboys in Canada. And Michael Tate, it was his first tour as the front man. And he just said, you know, I'm a big fan. I just really feel like you guys need to take a step and you need to go to Nashville. You don't live anywhere anyway. So why don't you head down there? And so we did.
Wow. Wow. There is so much in there. That is an amazing story. Thank you for sharing it once again. Jody King, she's one half of the band Loving the Outcome, the fresh sound, the big heart behind songs like The God I Know, and He is with us. Soon to depart with 10th Avenue North on the one-of-a-kind Christmas tour, Decade the Halls, with stops including Iowa, Wisconsin, the Dakotas, and Minnesota. We'll tell you more about where you can go to find out more about the tour and grab some tickets in just a moment, but let's talk about the tour. Decade the Halls, described as one of a kind, and I think the tagline captures it well. A night of music, pageantry, and time travel, which kind of tells you you're in for something special. What exactly are we in for here, Jody?
You know what? I wish I knew all the details. I feel like we're on the same ride you guys are on, which is a blast, because if you know Mike Donahue from 10th Ave, and if you know those guys at all, you know that their heart is like, oh my goodness, it's just all about chasing after the Father in really unconventional ways. And they're not scared to talk about what's on their heart and wear their heart on their sleeve. So I think they're wearing their heart on their Christmas sleeve with ugly Christmas sweaters, and they're just pulling out all the stops. And you're right, we love that. I mean, we love the crazy and having fun and letting people know, if they forgot, that it's okay to have fun in church and jump around. So we'll have our kids along, and I know that there possibly is a Sting cover that Chris will be imitating really well, because he looks like his younger brother, and I think I get to do some 70s tribute song. So we're really excited, and we'll hold on tight just like you guys.
That's a phenomenal response. What's it going to be like? Well, we're going to find out too. I love it. That's phenomenal.
Honesty to a fault.
I think that's great. That's beautiful stuff right there. Well, I mean, traveling with them, traveling with 10th Avenue North, they really do seem like a crew of guys that really walks the walk. It's not just about what they say, but it's really lived out there authentically. Can you share a bit just about what it's like to experience something like this with them?
It's always such an honor to be invited along someone else's dream, to accompany them as they pursue their goal with a tour. And we've always really not taken that lightly. You're invited to just serve alongside them, their vision, and see it, you know, be realized. So we're fully in. And it's great learning experience for us, because we've only been Loving the Outcome for about 5 years. I mean, we've been playing music a while, but we're still such a baby band. And anytime you can surround yourself with veterans that have been doing it, you know, two or three times longer than you have, there's always a lot to be learned. And
sure,
a bus with 10th Avenue and us is full of pretty deep conversation. Mike doesn't go halfway. He goes all the way. And so after the show, you know, the conversations start, and who knows how long you'll be up. So it's a lot of fun.
You know, you mentioned something in the explanation of the origin story that I thought was pretty interesting. You talked about the winding nature of the journey, right? And that it wasn't a strike of lightning and success was yours, right? But there were moments of real doubt and moments of real difficulty. Was there ever a point when it got so hard that you really did just want to quit? And if so, you know, how did God reach in and and really change your direction?
Yeah, there was more than one for sure. I remember being at a gas station, out of gas, out of money, out of credit cards, and, you know, really asking ourselves, like, man, what are we doing here? Like, we've kind of given everything we can to this thing, and it's still really not caught. So that was definitely a moment. And then I think probably for Chris and I, but mainly Chris, his mom getting stomach cancer along the way was a really, really tough moment in a lot of ways. It was also a very defining moment for us because we had to lay everything down. We'd sold our condo, we'd sold everything, and tried to make a go of it. And that was right when his mom got sick, and we decided to cancel a year's worth of shows and cancel whatever was the beginning of something and put it all down. And we moved back to Winnipeg, where we were from, and lived in his parents' basement, and just really made being with his family and with his mom and savoring those moments the priority. And after, you know, she went home on our anniversary, and we were left sort of sitting in his parents' basement going, you know, now what? And we had to just wait. We just had to wait in our pain and suffering and just sit with each other there for at least a year until there was any sort of clarity. And it was that full surrender, the full, like, God, we put everything into this. And as two human beings, we've done all we can that's in our power to make this go. So we're done trying to make this go. If you want this to be something, you need to show us that, and you need to lead the way, and we're not picking this up unless you do. And that was when the Newsboys called us to do that tour. It was about a year later. So, yeah, it was a full stop. It was a full stop.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, the first album that you wrote, the self-titled album, Loving the Outcome, that originated from this season. Is that correct?
Yeah, it did. We call that the Jetta album because almost all of the songs were written either in the Jetta or in, you know, the wake of selling it all and being homeless, purposeful wanderers, as we like to say.
Well, so what's so interesting then about that is you've talked about how the place you're writing from there in so many ways is a place of pain, in a place of discouragement. But then I noticed on a parallel track that so many of the reviews of that first album and so many of the writings about the music that you featured talked about how uplifting and hope-filled and redemptive the album was. I don't know if that was something that you noticed, but how would you go about explaining why that was?
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, He's With Us was written more from a place of questioning and doubt than it was from security and a promise. And we had to work our way into that promise and really believing it and owning it for ourselves. It's one thing to, you know, memorize scripture. It's another thing to take that and live it and walk it in the toughest of days. And He's With Us was really that. It was like, God, are you here in this at all? Like, we just don't feel it. And as we wrote that song and started to believe, no, He is here, like, He has been here all along. He is the only reason we can put one foot in front of the other. I think it turned from, you know, prayers of doubt and pain to prayers of faith and hope. And songs like He Is With Us, I think, express that pretty well.
Well, it's beautiful stuff. The heart of Love and the Outcome. Jody King has been with us, one half of this amazing team, the fresh sound and the big heart behind songs like The God I Know, He Is With Us. And they are soon to depart on what should be an amazing experience with 10th Avenue North, the one-of-a-kind Christmas tour, Decade the Halls, with stops including Iowa, Wisconsin, the Dakotas, and Minnesota. By the way, it strikes me that the temperatures in many of those states will make you feel a little bit more at home.
Yeah, you know what? This is the closest to Winnipeg we've ever toured since living in Nashville. So I think most of our family is going to hop across the border and come say Merry Christmas. So we're really excited.
That's super special. Well, If people do want to learn more about the tour, so many listening friends will have the chance to have a stop close to them. Where's the best place to go? Loving the Outcome, the website, and then the tour page? Is that the best way to do it?
That is the best way to do it. Make sure and follow 10th Avenue on Instagram. If you don't, You can do the same with us, Love in the Outcome. We both run our socials, meaning like nobody else is hired to post for me or for Mike. And so we'll be doing all the messaging about the tour and sharing the really fun behind the scenes clips that you don't want to miss.
Okay, perfect. So is that loveintheoutcome.com then, Jody?
That's it.
Boom. Mm-hmm. Well, it's really been a treat to talk with you here this past half hour. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us and sharing a bit of your heart and amazing story. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure was mine. Thanks so much.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.